that what a teenage girl needs is for you to hold space for their feelings and to reflect it back so that they feel like they're not crazy, like that they're like, oh my God, yeah, I do feel horrible about that. And so when I try to come in to kind of handle the discomfort, like I hear something really painful and I get uncomfortable, if I come in and try to slap positivity on it or try to give them a solution or try to fix it, that is not what works.
This is Finding the Throughline, the show that gives you inside access to honest conversations about the creative process. I'm Kate Hanley. I have been making a living from writing for 20 years, and I am still continually seeking ways to stay inspired and excited about the work I'm doing. Finding the Throughline is my way of getting inside the minds of creative people I admire and finding out how they stay connected to themselves and their work so that I and you and everyone who listens can gain some insights and inspiration that apply to our lives and our work. Today, I'm talking with Chelsea Gooden, author, keynote speaker, and screenwriter whose new book, Underestimated, The Wisdom and Power of Teenage Girls, is coming out in March of 2024. Chelsea has been a tutor to teen girls for 16 years and an advocate for gender justice. She's on the board of the nonprofit A Call to Men, which has a mission of promoting healthy masculinity, and the mentorship director of Democracy, which guides girls from underprivileged backgrounds into leadership roles. As a keynote speaker, Chelsea teaches corporate leaders how to inspire their team's best work, using the wisdom of teenage girls to help everyone feel seen, heard, and understood. Chelsea, I'm really excited to have you here today. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. So before we get started, I just want to let you and everybody who's listening know how it works. I'm going to ask you questions that fall into three basic categories: practical matters, inner stuff, and what's coming up. So if you are listening to this podcast and listening to the free version of this podcast, which I completely welcome and understand, each section of questions is going to come in its own short, easy to consume episode, and it's going to have a few ads thrown in to keep the lights on. If you want to become a paid subscriber, you'll get the full interview in one ad-free episode. So to upgrade to paid, visit me on Substack. I'm at katehanley.substack.com, where you can also find out about the other perks you get for becoming a paid subscriber. Okay, those are the basics. Let's dive in. So Chelsea, you have been very focused on empowering primarily young girls. What drew you to the work that you're doing?
When girls tell me their stories that are filled with everything from their struggles to perfectionism and self-doubt and what their ambitions in life are, they come up against similar obstacles that I feel like carry us into adulthood that all women face. And so many of the wounds and the stories we start telling ourselves start in our teenage years. And so by working with teenage girls, I get to come in at a point in their life and empower them at a moment so that they can form a different type of foundation that can carry them into adulthood so that they don't have the same self-doubt that follows them or imposter syndrome or worrying about people pleasing and making everyone happy or thinking that boys have more power and opportunities than they do. And so I get to come in at a different stage of life that sets different foundations, and that lights me up and gets me so happy that I can be that voice in their life.
Oh, that's so cool. Is there something like about you or your experiences that got you attuned to working with teenagers? You know, a lot of us would be like, let's not even think about the teenage years ever again. Like, I'm done.
Right. No, so it's a good question. I have a youthful spirit, like definitely a playful, like witty, funny, like I love to crack jokes and keep it really real. And one quality that I have that really works well with teenagers is that radical honesty. And it's actually a chapter in my book is radical honesty. And when you can just call things out and say it how it is in a funny, lighthearted way, teenagers love that. And we just get real with each other so much faster. And I love that they can handle that type of honesty, whereas I feel like adults lots of times have started putting on appearances and walls and what they want to show the world. And so I'm particularly attuned, I think, with teenagers because I love to be real in that way.
That's so fascinating because I think a lot of people are like, oh, the teenage years, I'm so glad they're behind me. I never want to go back. I'm curious, is there something about either you, your personality, or your life experience that really draws you to working with people that age?
Yes. Well, I do indeed love teenagers, which I know is a bold statement. And I think it has a lot to do. I have a very youthful spirit, so I can crack jokes. I can talk about things they're interested in. And also, the quality that I find that teenagers really love is radical honesty. And it's actually a chapter in my book. And I love being just super blunt and straight with them and tell them how it is. And they respond so well to that. And I feel like it's a real key to connecting with a teenager is just tell them the absolute truth and then do it with lightheartedness and levity and sarcasm. And I find that adults will often like have learn how to put on appearances and put up walls to kind of block whatever their truth is. Whereas with teenagers, they're just like, this is my truth. And I love that about them.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious because a lot of adults do put up walls. And I mean, was your a tendency and your appreciation for radical honesty, like, was it a barrier in your adult life? Like, you know, what got you to pivot to working with teenagers?
I know. I can be pretty blunt in my adult life. And so even with my closest friends, I'll tell them like, hey, if I ever like am too and blunt or too, I overstep, like, let me know. Like, that's never my intention to create harm with honesty. I'm always trying to attune with what serves the greater good and what's actually helpful. I don't try to just say the truth to be snarky type of thing. It's more just like, how can we be more vulnerable? How can we share things that maybe we're hiding or we're ashamed of, but in a safe way? That's another thing I like to do with teenagers is just create psychological and emotional safety in the space so that they know everything is welcome to be said. I very much invite the truth. There's not going to be any consequences to them speaking the truth to me. I'm not going to judge it. That is actually one of the biggest parts of my practice with teenagers is I do not judge them. And I create a non-judgmental space where they can say whatever's on their mind.
Has there been something about this line of work that was more difficult than you expected? And if so, how did you deal with that difficulty?
I would say the difficult part has been teenage girls specifically sharing really hard, dark parts of their life with me and me having to hold that burden with them. I mean, it's some really hard, a lot of teenage girls, whether it's like sexual assault or sexual harassment, you know, I've been told some really intense things and lots of times girls will be like, but it's fine, it's fine. And I'm like, it's not fine. And I get to be the adult in their life that's like, you know what? Let's just create some space to recognize that wasn't okay. This is awful that you're going through this. And just tell me about it. Tell me your feelings and like hold space for that. I didn't realize how little space they have in their life oftentimes for an adult to have the bandwidth to carry that type of weight for them.
Yeah. Are there habits or attitudes or practices that sort of help you stay in the space where you can hold that space for them and kind of carry the knowledge of the things that they share with you?
Yeah, I have learned, and I talk about in the book, is that I don't fix it. That what a teenage girl needs is for you to hold space for their feelings and to reflect it back so that they feel like they're not crazy, like that they're like, oh my God, yeah, I do feel horrible about that. And so when I try to come in to kind of handle the discomfort, like I hear something really painful and I get uncomfortable, if I come in and try to slap positivity on it or try to give them a solution or try to fix it, that is not what works. And that's usually what causes teenage girls to put up walls and defenses and be like, you don't understand me. And actually what they need is if a girl's like, oh my gosh, I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling frustrated. I just like, yeah, that does sound overwhelming. Yeah, you totally should be angry. That sucks. And then they're like, oh, okay. It's okay for me to feel this way. And so often there's so much pressure on girls to just be perfect and pleasing and likable to everyone that there's not space enough for them to have displeasing emotions, which are totally normal human emotions for them to be feeling.
Right.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, Chelsea, welcome back from our ad break. And I'm curious, are there habits or practices or things that you do that help you take care of yourself so that you can be more present in your work?
Yes, definitely. I'm very intentional about the time that I create in my own life. First of all, I have a very fun life, which I make sure I spend tons of time with friends. I host silly themed parties at a beach house for the weekend of like where we have, I have a lot of play actually in my life, which I know is not very always normal for an adult. And I laugh a lot. And I have a lot of friends who write in comedy. And then I also take a lot of time for myself. I have a hot tub where I like sit in silence, like with no jets, and just kind of, and I meditate and I'll do yoga and things that are like, okay, here's my silent time that gives me stillness so I can hear my intuition and connect with my heart and my values and my priorities. So there, I do both sides of it. I go playful, fun, socializing, community. I'm very community oriented and intentional with my friends, to also a lot of time in stillness and solitude to make sure I'm really in tune with my own values.
Yeah, it sounds like a really good yin and yang. So when it's time for you to sit down and write something, whether you're working on your book or you're working on a keynote, what does that process look like for you? Like, where are you? What time of day is it? I don't know. How do you get yourself in that space where you are ready to create?
Yeah, it's such a good question for any artist. You know, journaling always helps you sort out thoughts of what's pulling at your heart type of thing. I often come at it from a thematic point of view. It's like, what do I want to say? What larger theme, what larger idea do I feel called to share with the world, right? Like what pain is the world in, or what type of pain are people in? And how am I a person uniquely suited to give thoughts on that? You know, how have I experienced maybe that same pain and found some hope, some healing that I can speak into that in a way that's helpful and serves the greater good? I always am focused on inspiring people, inspiring a sense of wholeness, a sense of living their best life, living a bold life. And so I'm usually just always tapping into, I'll sit and just think and write out themes and ideas. And honestly, it comes very intuitively, like, oh, I'm called to speak into that. Or I'll look for messages, something someone said to me or something I read, or it could come from anywhere.
I like that. You said you look for messages. Can you unpack that a little bit more for us?
Yeah, my creative process is certainly a listening process. Mm-hmm. And that listening could be just, again, in that those quiet moments in the hot tub, like intuitively thinking, oh, that feels important to say. But it also I could read something in a book that pops out. I don't underestimate any situation. It could be on social media where I see a post about something where I'm like, oh, that's an interesting thought. Let me look into that. That's something that really pulls at my heart. It could be an email from a friend or a phone from a conversation with a friend where I'm like, oh my goodness, that's such a good idea. Like, I should jump on that. And I attune to kind of hearing when something pulls at my heart, basically. And when I do that, I'm very intentional. I'm like, okay, that topic interests me. Let me go explore that with my writing, or let me go explore that more. I'm always have my radar up. And then I write on my phone. I constantly, when something happens, I'll write the idea on my phone. And I have long different lists on my phone so I don't forget them, because that's another thing. An idea will pop in and you'll forget it. So I have a really disciplined practice of writing ideas on my phone.
Oh, I love that. Like in the notes app?
In the notes app. It's as simple as that. Yeah. Or, you know, on my calendar, sometimes a message could be like, reach out to that friend. You know, it doesn't have to be necessarily about something I need to write about. It's like, oh, I should connect with that person more because they're in that space that I'm excited about right now. And so I'll put on my calendar, like, you know, text, blah, 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 just anything. I'm constantly, whatever messages I get, I put into action, kind of a disciplined action.
I love that. I'm curious, is there something that you started doing for yourself because it was quote unquote good for you, but it blossomed into something that was a bigger part of your life or delivered more than just like, oh, I'm eating my vegetables. And so I can feel good about that.
Yeah. I feel like this is going to be a response maybe other people have said, but it is meditating. And for so long, I feel like people were like, have you ever meditated? Because I'm a pretty high energy, go, go, go type of person. And when people would say, do you ever meditate? I always kind of took it as an insult. Like, oh, well, this is just how I am. Like, I know, I get it. I need to slow down. But then honestly, everyone was right. And I found I had a lot of resistance to it. And certain moments happened in life where I was like, you know what? I need to quiet the noise in my brain. I need to, and I had read so much about the health of it. So I found my own way into it, which is I'll do guided meditations. I started off so small with like 3-minute meditations and I did it my way where it was imperfectly, right? Like lots of times when I find when I'm doing something and I have resistance to it, I'm like, you know what? Let me just do it imperfectly, because so often I want to go 0 to 10. I want to do it perfectly from the get-go, which prevents me from ever starting it. So I thought meditating means you have to be this perfect for 20 minutes with no thoughts in your head. And that's just not true. And now I'll do a regular 10 minutes a day. And that's good. It's so helpful. It really helps me align with my inner voice, not with noisy self-doubt messaging in my brain, the inner critic type of voice. And now I'm a fan.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking about that inner critic voice in our next session of questions. Can you tell me, like, those 10 minutes, and I love that, that's a very doable number. Do they happen at a specific time or how does that work?
I put it on my calendar. Like I was telling you, I put everything on my calendar that's healthy stuff like that. So I get to check it off every day when I do it, which makes it really helpful and doable. And I try to move it as I look at my day, I try to move it to a time where I'm like, oh, I could do it during that time. It's different every day, but I do try to consciously look at my calendar and be like, oh, okay, I'll have a break then. That's when I should do it. But also sometimes it just happens more on the fly and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it now.
Awesome. And I really love the idea of meditating in a hot tub. I need to experience that someday.
Yeah. Yeah, because that helps quiet your body too in a way. Like it's a much more mind, body, soul experience.
Fantastic. All right. That concludes our section of questions on the practicalities of how Chelsea got to where she is today and how she stays inspired and connected and able to be present with the teenage girls that she works with. Coming up in the next Finding the Throughline episode, I'm going to ask Chelsea questions that are more internally focused. She mentioned the inner critic. We're going to dive into what that inner critic might be telling her and any ideas or beliefs that she's had to rewrite. So I hope that you will come back for our next episode. Finding the Throughline airs one interview per week, broken up into 3 episodes that come out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free. Skip the ads and get each interview in one longer episode by becoming a paid subscriber at katehanley.substack.com. Even if you aren't ready to get out your wallet just yet, become a free subscriber at katehanley.substack.com and receive the full show notes with links to everything my guests and I cover. However you listen, thank you. Finding the Throughline is edited by Sound Advice Strategies. Connect with me on Instagram at Kate Hanley Author. Here's a little preview of what's to come in part 2 of this interview.
Everyone's perception is out of my control. I cannot control how people perceive me, and everyone has a different reality going on in their head. So I have to sit with that. And it gives me the heebie-jeebies for sure that I may indeed be misunderstood. And I have to just accept that.
I'm Kate Hanley, and this is Finding the Throughline. More to come on Wednesday.